Well, the Experimental Lakes area in northwestern Ontario is one of the world's most important outdoor laboratories. It's also been costing the federal government about $2 million a year, money the government pulled last month. Today, the facility got a second chance. The Ontario government says it has a plan to keep it open in 2013 and perhaps beyond. It involves working with the feds, the Manitoba government, and the International Institute for Sustainable Development. Jules Blais is part of that coalition that's been fighting to save the Experimental Lakes area. He's also professor of biology at the University of Ottawa, and he's with me in studio. Hi there.
Hello, Alan.
What went through your mind when you heard that the province would intervene?
Well, I was relieved because we've been hearing for the last year only bad news about the Experimental Lakes area, and so we were definitely relieved that the government of Ontario stepped forward to support the ELA and to support the International Institute for Sustainable Development in its transfer for being the new operator of ELA.
Did you see this coming?
We were hoping it would be coming, but we didn't know whether other groups would step forward. There were no indications. We knew that there were negotiations with the IISD, but we didn't know how they were going. Everything was behind closed doors.
So at that point, when you're uncertain of what's going to be happening, what have you been doing with your research in the meantime? How do you figure out when it's, and I understand this is always the case with funding when it comes to research, but how do you start planning?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we had colleagues that were up until a few months ago, they were still planning to do research there, and they were uncertain about what would happen. They had their plans on hold, and so we were trying to make do with the situation we were in. But it was this news that came today that gave us a lifeline. Essentially, what has happened is that the ELA has been handed a lifeline, and the research that was started years ago, long before the announcement that the ELA would be closed, was on hold and was at risk, and now it looks like it can be resurrected. Although we haven't gotten to that point yet, we're not sure if that's in fact the case, and that the research will still be able to go ahead.
This research that you're talking about, I'm just wondering if you can give some examples of why that facility in particular is so important.
Yes.
That the research couldn't go on same subjects elsewhere? Why?
ELA is unique in the world. It is the only place in the world where whole lakes can be manipulated experimentally. So this was really the great thing about the Experimental Lakes area. It's the only place where whole lake ecosystems can be manipulated to mimic some kind of human disturbance like acid rain. This is where we learned most of what we know about the effects of acid rain on lakes. It's where we learned most of what we know about the effects of phosphates on lakes. And, you know, ELA became world famous about 40 years ago when, at that time, there were toxic algal blooms that were affecting water quality all over the world. And it was killing the fish and it was making the water unpalatable. And we didn't know how to stop it. Mm-hmm. And ELA scientists at that time started to do experiments to try and figure out what was the root cause. And what that research showed is that there was one limiting factor, phosphorus, that was causing all of these algal blooms. It was the limiting factor. So what happened was when they added a little bit of phosphorus, they produced these huge algae blooms, and so which was exactly what was happening all over the world. Right. And so by extension, if you take phosphorus away, you can bring those problems under control. Yeah. And so that's exactly what happened. We started introducing phosphate abatement programs. You know, the governments got involved to start regulating the amount of phosphorus in detergents. Simple technologies were developed by engineers simple technologies like just precipitating phosphorus out of wastewater effluent. And these simple strategies, once we knew what the problem was through ELA science, these simple strategies improved water quality, not just in Canada, but all over the world. So ELA was a made-in-Canada solution that averted a global environmental catastrophe. Mm-hmm. And ELA made this possible before its fifth birthday. So this was ELA's introduction to the world. It started by finding a solution to a global environmental problem. And then a few years later, it did the same thing with acid rain. And just up until a few months ago, it was doing similar work with mercury, with nanomaterials, a lot of the emerging issues that we are facing today.
All right. I'm thinking, though, we have a possible Hail Mary here that has come in on the part of the province. We don't know exactly, though, how the Ontario government is going to be helping out here. We don't exactly know the details of the new plan.
That's true.
And I'm wondering, in the cases of all these different research, different pieces of research that you're talking about right now, what questions do you want to see answered in the coming days and week?
Yes. Well, I think that one question that the environmental science community has is the degree of transparency. Will scientists be free to articulate their own questions and publish their results? Will they be able to talk to the media freely to the media? So I think these are some of the pressing questions that we have at this time, because it is critically important when you're doing research in the public interest to have that transparency and to have that ability to speak to the public. And so one of the questions that we have for the new operator is what will be the conditions of transparency and publication.
I'm just wondering if you can give me a sense of what that conversation has been like so far with other members of the coalition.
The
people who are trying to save this right
yes.
now.
Yes.
Is there a sense, because I mean this is a solution for the time being.
Yes.
We have seen what has happened with government support in the past.
Yes.
That could, I mean, I'm not saying that the Ontario government is going to take it away again, but we don't know the details of how long or how sustainable this could continue for.
Right.
Is there a sense from the other people in the coalition that not only do we have to rely on government funding, we have to figure out a different way of doing this?
Yes, I get a lot of positive. I get a real positive sense from the IISD. I think that they are genuine in their motivation. They've been devoted to questions related to sustainable development in the past. I think that they've never done anything like this before, but I think this is definitely a solution. And they are. I see them as being a very positive influence in all of this. Again, we still have many questions. It's very early days in terms of knowing, for example, what will happen to the staff at ELA. The ELA isn't just 58 lakes that are devoted for environmental research. It's also the people who know how to do this research. Uh-huh. And so the ELA is much more than just the center. It's the people. It's the and at this point in time, we have very little information. I know ELA scientists. I speak to them all the time. They don't know their future. They don't know what is going to happen with their own positions, let alone what will happen with the ELA. So we're still at a very early stage, and we're still waiting for these answers.
All right, Jules Blais, thanks very much for coming in today.
Thank you very much.
Jules Blais, professor of biology at the University of Ottawa. He's also part of the Coalition to Save the Experimental Lakes Area. Thoughts on this? All in a day at cbc.ca is our email address. You can also tweet us, CBC All in a Day.